Good afternoon, everybody. I actually love the umbrellas. I love the balloons in here. What do you think when you see these balloons? What's that? Why? Okay. Yeah. And party. Yes. I think party. I think kind of celebration.
Tim Burton.
Okay.
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Okay, slightly different angle, but I can appreciate that. Well, I think party, I think celebration, and there always seems to be something going on here when we're here. A few weeks ago, when I preached and we talked about the temple, lots of work was going on. It was all uprooted. It was like it was in conjunction with the message. And today, I look at these balloons and I think, it's in conjunction with the message. Because today, we are in celebratory moods. Because we are going to be talking about the resurrection. Jesus did die. He was buried. But on the third day, he raised again. And the resurrection is the center of our faith. It's why we're here. John Stott said, that Christianity is in itself a resurrection religion. The concept of resurrection lies at its heart. If you remove it, Christianity is destroyed. It's at the center. Without it, it's almost like it's meaningless. 1 Corinthians 15, it's the center point of our faith. It's of first importance. And that's what we're going to look at today. So let's turn in our Bibles to Luke 24. If you don't have a Bible, please share with somebody next to you. We'll be going to Luke 24. And not only do we have balloons here, we also have a wild beast. Okay, Ian says woo. The rest of you are just like, yeah, wild beast. That's not normal, people. We have a wild beast. Whoa. Yes. We have a stag with us. Mr. Ian Moley, yesterday. A lot of Ian's close friends and came and celebrated Ian as he embarks on a great journey with Fumi. And it was great to be able to celebrate with Ian. Ian's a fantastic guy, a guy that cares about people, that is there for them, and believes in them. And if you're wondering, wow, how could this guy be so great? Talk to him, and I'm sure he'll explain why. Because of Fumi, okay. Alright, anyway, let's go to Luke 24. Hopefully we're there. It says, on the first day, in verse 1, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. We'll stop here. Two very simple points today. The first point is remember his words. We have a quite remarkable scene here. This this huge hero of them has died. He's buried in the tomb. And suddenly, he's not there. And the women, they come across these two angels. These two men who in clothes that gleam like lightning. Quite a situation. And they're wondering what has happened. They're wondering, what is going on here? And they point the women back to what Christ has always talked about. The fact that he would die. This was no surprise. And the fact that he would raise again. Remember his words. Yesterday for Ian's stag do. Oh gosh. Every time you say your name, it's gosh. We went go-karting, and I was actually quite nervous going go-karting, I have to say, thinking, oh, I'm not a driver, I don't have a license, what's going to happen? But they had a safety video there before you actually go out on the track, and it tells you, you know, all the things that you need to do, all the things you need to look out for, the red lights, the yellow lights, the black flags. I don't think any of us got black flags. That was bad. And they tell you, you know, you've got to be safe. You've got to drive safely. Don't bump into anybody. You know, be very sportsmanlike, and so on. And so I took this in. I was like, yes, amen. I'm hearing some of that because I was, like I say, I was a bit nervous. But on the actual day, when we were going round, I don't think actually everybody took note of those words at all. I'm not too sure whether they were falling asleep during the safety video, but during the race, I got whacked from behind, crashed into. I don't think they remember the words. And I thought, oh, it's probably nothing. But I've actually kind of got this bruise here, and my back's kind of, it's made an indent into my back somehow. I've got, thank you for the laughter. Yeah, I love that. Love the empathy. And, but they didn't, there was no, I don't think they remembered these words that they had heard. And I think we forget things, we don't remember things when things don't go as we expect. When there's distractions around. And for Jesus' followers, things did not go as they expected. This is a guy that's supposed to be their great savior, their great king. He's not supposed to die a humiliating death like this. Where are they now? And that causes us to forget. We forget what happens. And it's not like Jesus had not warned them at all. It's not like he hadn't talked about it. He hadn't discussed it. If we look at Matthew 16:21. I don't know why I'm carrying my pen. Matthew 16:21 says, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Then we go on and we see in Matthew 17:22, he says again, when they came together in Galilee, he said to them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised to life. And the disciples were filled with grief. Then again, in Matthew 20, verse 17, as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside and said to them, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life. These are just a few examples. You would have thought it would be obvious. It would be evident. They wouldn't be surprised that Jesus is... that Jesus isn't there. You would have thought that they wouldn't have gone into a despair. But it's very easy to point the finger. I think for myself, if I was in that position, maybe I would be exactly the same way. It's very easy for us to look at this and think, okay, they should have realized that Jesus was going to be raised from the dead. They should have realized that he was going to die. But I think we go through the same thing. We make the same mistakes. And it's all because we don't remember his words. Sometimes we look at other situations and we think, don't do that. Why are you doing that? You know, all of us, or a lot of us, probably like the movies. And we see things in the movies and we look at different films and we see different characters and wonder why they're doing this or they're doing that. You know, what are you doing? I don't actually like scary movies. I know some of you do. What's that? You're with you, yes. There's no point. Why put yourself through that? But on one occasion I watched The Descent, and I wouldn't actually recommend it. It's just a crazy movie about these people that are interested in going cave climbing, and they go in after hearing noises and go into somewhere where all these monsters are. Like, why would you do that? And you're screaming at the screen. Don't do that. Don't do it. It's obvious. Same thing with watching Crystal Palace sometimes. They were in the semi-finals of the League Cup, right? And it comes to a penalty shootout, and this guy steps up. Is our left back, and he is awful. Seriously, we've got some great players, but he is really bad. And he's just stepping up, and immediately you just know, yeah, it's all over. It's all over. Next year, same feeling when Gareth Southgate stepped up for Euro 96. Gareth Southgate, centre back, it's all over. Anyway, we look at these things and we think, it's obvious, why are you doing this? But in a spiritual sense as well, for us, we often do things that you would look at and you would think, why are you doing that? Why are you putting yourself through that situation? Why are you making that decision? Why are you giving up so easily? You know, we have a difficult situation at work, and maybe we decide to have a go at our boss, or to not then cooperate. You know, where are we remembering Jesus' words then? You know, have you forgotten his words? Have you chosen to neglect some of them? And when do you remember? Notice, when do you remember his words as well? Is it when you're at home? Or is it just when you're here, when you're at church, when you're with the brothers and sisters? You know, when do you remember Jesus' words? You know, remembering Jesus' words changes us. It changes our lives. It changes our perspective. We see the same thing with Peter. When he denies Jesus three times, he says, I don't know this guy. I've never seen this guy. It's only when he remembered Jesus' words that he was able to get some perspective on it. Let's remember Jesus' words. And also, do you know Jesus' words? Maybe you're visiting today and you don't really know Jesus' words. You don't really know about what he taught. Find out. Okay, second point. Let's read. The second point is, see Jesus clearly. Second point is, see Jesus clearly. We'll carry on reading. From verse 13, it says, now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened here, there, in these days? What things, he asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels, who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And he stayed continually at the temple praising God. Finish Luke, exactly. We are here, 3 years in the waiting, finishing Luke. See Jesus clearly. The second point is see Jesus clearly. We have two situations here where Jesus is with the disciples. First on the road to Emmaus and then later eating with the disciples. And there's key similarities in both the stories. They both do not recognize Jesus. They both don't see him. They both don't see that this is Jesus. This is the Son of God. And bear with me. And again, this should be something that is so abundantly clear to them. And it shows us, despite whatever proof that you may have before you, whatever clear evidence that you may have before you, it's still possible for people to not see clearly. You know, Jesus has done all these miracles. Jesus has spent 3 years preaching about the kingdom. He's died. He's raised to life. They still can't see him clearly. And again, it's the same for us as well. Whatever evidence we have, sometimes it's just not, we just won't accept it. There's a case in the US on death row where somebody was convicted for murder, and it's later actually been proved through DNA evidence that the guy didn't do it. He wasn't there. It wasn't him. But they won't release him, would you believe? They won't release him. A guy that can be released on evidence. All because of process, and all because of the system. And there's clear evidence there, but they won't release him. They won't come to their senses to see. And this is the situation that we see here with the disciples here. They're unable to recognize Jesus. They're too preoccupied, maybe, with the burden of their hopes being seemingly for them being quashed, on being discouraged by their king, their savior dying, and they're unable to see Jesus clearly. And how do they end up seeing Jesus clearly? How do they end up seeing that, hey, actually, yes, he is their savior, he is the Son of God? Well, it's the scriptures, quite simply. Their hearts burns because of the scriptures. What did Jesus do? He opened up the scriptures with them. And again, at the end, Jesus with the disciples, he discusses the scriptures. You have to go back to the scriptures. I don't know how your opinion on Jesus is formed, whether it's formed by the internet, or it's formed by an article, or it's formed by a debate that you have seen. But if it's not the scriptures, you're not going to get the picture of Jesus. And if you really want to know if Jesus is the Son of God, if your heart is really in it, if you're really sincere, then it's only through studying out the whole of the scriptures that you will find that. The guys on the road to Emmaus, maybe they were just concentrating on all the great things that they had experienced and learned and knew about Jesus. The fact that he's this great speaker, this great peaceful man, the Prince of Peace, this amazing counselor. But they maybe didn't take into consideration that this man that they loved is going to die. This man that they love is going to suffer. And if his followers want the same thing, they want this relationship with God, they want this place in heaven, then it's going to have to be the same for them. They're going to have to suffer. And it's the same for us as well. Self-denial, taking up our cross. It doesn't change. And ultimately, without the scriptures, it is impossible to see Jesus clearly. And just finally, if you look at the guys Cleopas on the road to Emmaus, and you see how they interact with Jesus. First, they're asking, "Where have you been, Jesus? You know, where have you been?" If you'd watched yesterday's fight, there was a big heavyweight title fight between a guy called Vitali Klitschko and Derek Chisora, I mean, even with Vitali Klitschko, imagine if you had this huge, massive guy, and he's a beast of a man, a phenomenal fighter. He doesn't have a name. If you could pick any name in the world, I guarantee you'd probably pick Vitali Klitschko. That is, it's a phenomenal name. But yesterday was a disgrace to boxing, in the sense that there was a, first of all, pre-fight, Chisora from Britain slaps Klitschko at the weigh-in. Then after, Chisora and another boxer called David Hay had a brawl. And if you were out there in Germany and you were walking around and people were talking about the boxing and you asked, well, what's happened? They'd probably look at you really strangely. Like, where have you been? And this is the response that they have to Jesus. Where have you been? But then when Jesus points out to them that their hearts are slow, Jesus almost says, well, where have you been? I've been here all the time. I've been with you. I've been preaching. I've been telling you about the kingdom. I've been telling you about a relationship with God. Where have you been? And I think what gets in the way is obviously ultimately sin. Preoccupation on our own lives. Are we preoccupied on our own lives? Are we so obsessed about what we have to do for work? So obsessed about the calls that we have to make? Sometimes I feel like, this day cannot go on until I've made all these calls. Oh my goodness, the world will end if I don't do this. It won't. And this is what, these are the things that block us from seeing Jesus clearly. Because our minds, our hearts are closed to the bigger picture. And quite simply, see Jesus clearly. And as I said, the only way to do that is to look at the scriptures. So, just in conclusion, we are at the end of Luke. This is a celebration. Jesus raising from the dead is a celebration. It's found nowhere else. And it's the center of our faith. It's why we're here. It should be why we're here. But it can be missed so easily if we don't remember his words. Yes, we can believe in Jesus. Yes, we can believe that he was raised from the dead. But if throughout our lives, not just on a Sunday or whatever, if we make decisions where, okay, yeah, I'm just going to worry. Yeah, I'm going to lose my temper. Yes, I'm going to lie. Yes, I'm going to cut corners. Then we're not remembering his words. We're exactly the same. Remembering his words is important for us as people that don't know God, but also that do, that are disciples. And finally, let's see Jesus clearly. Do you have the real picture of Jesus? Or is it a picture that has just been told to you over time? A picture that you've seen on the telly or that you've seen in an article? The only way is to look at the scriptures, to dig into them, the complete picture. Amen.